brothers and sisters, it's now my pleasure to invite Brother James to give us some words of exhortation. Brother James.
Thanks. Morning, everyone. It's good to see you all again. Last week I was talking to one of the brothers who'd come to our bring and share at the meeting, and I said, "Oh, you know, how are you getting on?" He said, "Oh, I'm a bit tired today." He said, "Because we were looking after our grandsons yesterday, and he said it was really hard." He said, "I don't like to say this," he said, "but the best point of it was actually waving them off goodbye when the parents came to pick them up at the end of the day." And it sort of made me think about this this chap that we met. Well, we didn't really meet him, but he was on holiday once when we were and on the beach. He had quite a young, he was probably my age at the time, he was probably late 40s, and his wife was probably a lot younger, probably 20 years or so younger, and he had young kids. And he used to spend most of his time out on the diving raft out in the sea. And I said, "Oh, why do you spend all your time out?" He said, "Oh, it's the only way I can escape the children." And because it was obviously quite hard work when you get to sort of our age. And you forget what it's like actually looking after children. Just one word of advice, actually, to any young fathers out there, and I know there's a few. When you get home from work, don't ever say to your wife, "Look at the terrible chaos that the house is in," and say, "What have you been doing all day?" It doesn't go down too well. It really doesn't. But essentially, you know, as you get older, you forget what it's like looking after young children. Just the fact that you're constantly running after them, reaching out to stop them doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or reaching out to pick them up when they have done something wrong and they've hurt themselves as a consequence. And really, when you think, when you read through God's Word, this child and father relationship is very apparent, isn't it? Because really, when God created us, He gave us a choice, free will, and of course, we remember that we've all inherited exactly the same nature as Adam and Eve. This sort of inquisitive nature. And when you think about when you're looking after your own children or your grandchildren, you know, it's a big responsibility. And you suddenly realise that your house and your garden are absolutely minefield of potential disasters that you're probably not aware of when you're older. And of course, God would look on us and see that really, given free will and choice, life is full of potential disasters, and he is there to sort of guide us through all of this minefield of things that could potentially hurt us. And we tell our children, don't we, you know, don't do this, don't do that, because we've learned from experience that doing that, it could end up hurting them or other people. And we've learned from our own experiences, unfortunately. But of course, you know, we are still children. In God's eyes, we've been told, don't go in that direction, go in this direction. But unfortunately, like children, we're sort of lured towards the things that we're told not to do, because we've got this inquisitive nature, and quite often we blatantly ignore our Heavenly Father's instructions, and we get into a terrible mess, don't we? Because we've trusted in our own self-will and gone off in our own direction. And then, so I think really, in Exodus, we read this wonderful account of the children of Israel, and they do behave like children, don't they, a lot of the time, with this relationship that we have with God. I'll just remind you of what the Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians. He says, these are set for our example. When we read about the children of Israel, we need to learn from what they did. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant how all our fathers were under a cloud and all passed through the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then he goes on to say, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. And also, God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, said, all day long I have reached out my arms to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Yes, God was like a father, wasn't he, to them? He would stretch out and either feed them, as we read in Hosea, take care of them, cherish them, nurture them. But quite often he was reaching out his arms to either stop them doing something or to protect them or to save them. And that's what we read in his Exodus, isn't it? You know, a few weeks ago we were reading, let's just remind ourselves, just have a look at Exodus chapter 6, because we remind ourselves, this is a wonderful section, I think, of history, of God's story, this deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you up out of the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you of their bondage, and I'm going to redeem you with a stretched out arm, with great judgments, and I'm going to take you for my people, and I will be your God, and bring you out of the burdens of the Egyptians. And I think if I could really go back in time to any point in biblical history, or any history really, it would be this point in time, to see what actually happened firsthand as God, as we're told, stretched out his arms to bring the Egyptians out of Egypt. Because I don't really think it's possible to fully appreciate the magnitude of those plagues that came upon Egypt, and then the magnitude of what happened as God sort of metaphorically pushed aside that the waters of the Red Sea and held them to the side as the children of Israel passed through on dry ground, and then just simply released them as they came crashing down. Verse 6. This is it, isn't it? It's an awe-inspiring act, isn't it? Amidst all this noise and all the confusion and the fear as the Egyptians are descending on them, just see what Moses said. Verse 6, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Just stand still. That's all you have to do, and to watch what happens when God stretches out his arms to save you. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 26, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters may come down again over the Egyptians upon their chariots and their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew them all in the midst of the sea. So it would have been an incredible sight, I think, an amazing miracle that they had witnessed, not just that day, but all the way through the plagues and everything that they did, those two towering walls of water on either side. And you'd think that surely after witnessing such incredible miracles, and this final miracle of being saved, witnessing God's arms stretched out to save them, it would have left a real marked impression on them for the rest of their lives. I would have thought it would have made a marked impression on my life after I'd seen all of these things. And yet, we read, don't we, that just 3 days later, you know, they're moaning and groaning and saying, oh, it would have been better if we'd have stayed back in Egypt. It was probably a little bit nicer than being here now. And you wonder why? How could you possibly forget something like that? But the truth of the matter is, are we really any different in our everyday lives? Because, of course, we're reminded in God's word, aren't we, that just like the children of Israel, we've been delivered, we've been saved, haven't we? God has stretched out his arms and saved us from sin and death. We've passed through those waters of baptism, just like the Israelites passed through the Red Sea. And we've been saved from, ultimately, slavery, a life of slavery, and ultimately death. Our lives could have been just like that, consumed with a life that would have eventually led to a dead end. But of course, this morning we've come to remember how God has stretched out his arms to each one of us individually, and he gave us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as we read in Mark, stretched out his arms in the most emphatic way on the cross, didn't he? So that we could be saved from this life and saved from ourselves, essentially. And in all this confusion, we spoke about it earlier, that the world that we live in, really what we're being told is that we just need to stand still and to see God's stretched out arms as he brings about his will and purpose with the world we live in. As he brings about this, as we're walking through the sea and the waves roaring around us, aren't they? With the terrible turmoil that's going on in the world. But we need to remember that God is there by our side, protecting us every step of the way. But we need to remember what the Apostle Paul said, that what happened to the children of Israel, as we read through Exodus and those chapters, those chapters in the Old Testament, that they forgot all of the things that they witnessed, and they forgot how God had delivered them and given this wonderful hope as he led them to the promised land. And so it's easy to think that how short-sighted the children of Israel were in hankering back to their lives in Egypt, how ignorant they were in forgetting all the blessings that God had showered upon them. But the truth of the matter is, we're just the same, aren't we? Probably not to the same extent, hopefully, but we can forget so easily, can't we? On a Monday morning, you know, we sit and remember what God has done and the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And yet, Monday, it's all a distant memory, isn't it? As we get sucked back into the world that we're living in. But we're reminded constantly that we need to hold out our hand to God, who has stretched out his arms to us, and we need to take his hand and be led by him through the lives that we live. You only have to think, I think, about, say, like Lot, for instance, Lot and his family. Yes, we know that Lot was saved from Sodom and Gomorrah, but the angel who went to save them, the angels, they had to grab them, didn't they, by the hand and physically drag them out of Sodom. And I hope that's probably doesn't really affect us in as we see the troubled times that we live in, that we're so assimilated into the life, even though we don't like it, we're so assimilated and wrapped up into this life that when the Lord Jesus Christ does return, you know, we're not going to have to be forcibly dragged out. We should be ready and waiting to go. Just come with me to Psalm 73, because I think there's some words, again, that we read just a few days ago, that really sum up the dangers we face as children of God and how easy it is to stumble and to get drawn away by the world that we live in. Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel and to such that are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You set the wicked on slippery places and cast them down to destruction. But you, Lord God, you hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterwards receive me into glory. And that's it, isn't it? You know, just like the children of Israel, I really believe that we're on the verge of the promised land. And yet, wasn't that the most crucial point when their faith deserted them? After everything they'd been through, after everything they'd witnessed, they didn't believe that God could help them overcome this very last hurdle. And maybe we should remember that we shouldn't lose sight of God's kingdom. It's so easy, isn't it, to forget what God has done to us in reaching out to save us, and it's easy to wander off and trust in our own judgments rather than be guided by God every day of our lives. I remember, you know, if I can't just remember back to what it was like looking after a toddler, one of the loveliest things when you've got children or grandchildren is when they instinctively hold up their hand, so that they want to be either carried or they want you to hold their hand. You know, when they're not sure about something, if they're crossing a busy road or if they're going somewhere that they've never been before, and they want that protection, they want that comfort and reassurance that somebody is there to guide and look after them. And of course, I also remember the time when I took a young sort of 9, 10-year-old shopping, and there was no way that he was going to even walk within 20 feet of me because I was so embarrassing. And of course, that's what happens, isn't it? You know, as we get older, we become less inclined to go hold our parents' hands, and we become individuals, don't we? And of course, you don't want to, you know, a 15-year-old holding your hand, but what it is metaphorically is that we shouldn't be like that in our relationship with God, should we? We have to be childlike in the fact that God guides us every day of our lives, and we should remember to reach out our hand and hold it and allow him to hold us and guide us every day of our lives, and not have this self-will where we think we know what's best, we're going to go in this direction, and never stop to ask God for direction or guidance in our lives. Because what God has done for us is truly worth giving thanks for. Because we've come to remember here this morning our Passover lamb, haven't we? And reflect on the true mercy and love of a heavenly Father. And as I think we take this bread and wine now and think carefully about really the magnitude of the sacrifice that our Father was prepared to make, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he was prepared to make for all of us. Because the truth of the matter is that the only person who God could really have reached out, who was really truly worthy of reaching out and saving, was his Son on that day that he was on the cross, when he was being so cruelly tortured both mentally and physically. And yet, even though Jesus reached out to him, really the Lord God was prepared to hold back, wasn't he? It must have been so hard to hold back to see his only Son, his only perfect Son, who always listened to him, who always turned to him for guidance. And at that one point when he reached out to him, God had to hold back and do nothing for our sakes. So in conclusion, just turn with me to that psalm that we read, Psalm 88, that we read earlier, because here we're reminded of the pain and the anguish that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered as he was crucified. And we're reminded how he reached out to his Father. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles and my life draws near to the grave. And verse 9, my eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called upon you daily. I have stretched out my hands to you. It's really difficult, isn't it, to imagine the pain a father would experience watching his son suffering a cruel death and to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because here was his son, his perfect son, reaching out for help, and yet God was prepared to watch him suffer and to die for all of us. And yet such is the love and the mercy of a heavenly Father that he was prepared to reach out and to save you and me, wholly unworthy, often ungrateful, very often disobedient children, and yet he was prepared to do that for our sakes. So, perhaps we should reciprocate that love and that mercy of our Father and his Son with thanksgiving and praise in our hearts, and pray that he will guard us and guide us, and that we will reach out our hands and let him guide us in our lives and keep us safe on this wilderness journey as we wait for Christ's return.